Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today's Friday, September 2nd, Tori.
Hello.
You know what that means? It means we have a holiday on Monday.
Yes.
You looking forward to that?
Always. Every holiday. What is it? Labor Day?
Labor Day.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So a lot of people already left town. It seems like pretty light out there.
Yeah, we just saw some tumbleweeds go by.
Yeah. I know. It is kind of windy. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, the town is being abandoned, which would be nice for LA, you
the
know.
Best.
I keep thinking the traffic is only getting worse. What are they going to do? All these new cars going on the roads every day.
I know.
You know, where is it all going
to
go?
To be honest, I do see why evolutionary-wise we're moving towards self-driving cars. So yeah. That you can get more accomplished. Traffic is caused by human mistakes, right? So it's like self-driving cars might solve a lot of that problem.
That's true. There's not going to be a lot of holdups on the freeway,
right.
They say.
There ain't no dude on a text message, right?
Right.
Testing
and,
his bag.
And braking when they don't need to and shit like this.
Yeah.
But LA traffic is just horrendous sometimes, you know, and everybody knows that. But I got to tell you, every big city's got rush hour traffic and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we have 24/7.
We do. I grew up in D.C., though, and man, that is one trafficky little area. And I'm not talking politics, people. No, it's terrible. And there's always these one-way streets, and you're like, oh, it's terrible. The Beltway is jam-packed. So it is in every city. But L.A., you just have to get really zen and invest in a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah, or something like that. You know, or
have a routine,
music, whatever, or tune in to us. What the hell?
Hello.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
So in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, and that's going to be an interesting topic for those of you who smoke or vape with vaporizers and e-cigarettes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that. He made a movie about it, which sounds fascinating. So we'll see.
Light it up.
Yeah.
Or
exactly.
Don't light it up. I mean,
don't light it up.
Vape it up.
Yeah, whatever. But we have a lot to talk about today. And so, Tori, you went to Vegas, and I went to the Great Love Debate on Wednesday night.
Yes.
So we both have some stuff to talk about.
Yes.
So let's hear about Vegas. How did it go? For those of you who didn't listen to us, why were you going to Vegas?
I got into the finals for the World Series of Comedy Festival, and it was very exciting, and we did it at the Tuscany Suites and Casino. Lovely place.
Tuscany, where is that? On the strip?
It's not on the strip,
not
which was
strip.
Nice. And
yeah.
It was huge, and there was it was lovely, and I got to meet all these awesome comics, tons of industry.
Nice.
And they're the judges, and you go up and they judge you, and then the audience has an app and they judge you too.
Wow.
So you get judged by everyone. I went first, which is probably the worst thing in the whole wide world. However, I tend to have a lot of energy, which is great. I open a show really well, but I think you can't remember the person.
Saying that before too, yeah.
Oh God, it's not a fun position.
Really?
To be in,
is that what happened?
I mean,
did they forget about you?
I think everyone forgot. So I was like a little disappointed that I didn't place first or second. But when I walked out, the industry panel, someone came up to me who's what I was hoping for was this guy, and he was like, "I'd love to see 20 minutes." of your set, because he's looking for someone to match with headliners at like Zany's or Caroline's in New York as an opener.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, of course. And I'm like, I ain't got no 20 minutes.
So yeah, I'll have to come back to you on that.
I was like,
one,
right? And then my manager, who had driven up because she has several people in the festival, rushed over because she knows I'm not very good on my own. And she says, oh, hi. Okay, so she's with me and we'll get you whatever we need. And then she just pulls me inside. Get yourselves up 20 minutes.
That's funny. So was the competition only one night?
It was one night, and I am a slut. So I told my husband we can play $5 because I lost like a tremendous amount of money once in Vegas.
Wow.
We're never talking about that time again, ever.
Really?
But I put in $5. I hit the wrong button on the Wheel of Fortune slot. I went to do one credit, but I hit like all of it. And I got like $40.
$40.
And I was like, okay, all right. Yeah. So then after the show, we used that $40, and I hit the same machine, and I won $500.
Nah, get out of here. Get the hell out of here.
$500.
With $5?
With $5. And then, of course, I'm like, let's keep playing.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like,
did
no.
Did you leave it all there?
No, cash out.
Good for you.
Cash out. That's how you win Vegas, he says.
Exactly. You don't stay. You don't give the money back, man.
I did spend it on a bad Philly cheesesteak. Oh, my God. Terrible.
I know. In Vegas, you know what? There's not a lot of food choices unless you go to the expensive restaurants.
Very true.
Right?
Definitely.
There's not much to eat. I mean, either junk food or very expensive food. Even the buffets are, like, expensive now.
And there's no, like, I looked for fruit everywhere. Or just, like, a piece of grape, an apple, nothing.
Nothing,
I couldn't
right?
find anything.
All processed
food. I was like, is a watermelon of it, anything? I'll take a banana, nothing.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, so then you have to go in a market or something and buy yourself some, yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah, but when you go to Vegas, sometimes for a short time, you don't really get out of the strip, right? You feel you don't really need a car. You don't need to go anywhere.
Totally. And what's great is that when it's so hot, you just stay in that air conditioning.
Yeah.
And it's oxygen is pumped through.
Uh-huh.
So it keeps you awake. Man, I could live there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But you know what? One thing I have about casinos is that they still allow smoking indoors,
right?
Okay,
this is my only thing.
Right? And it stinks in there.
Oh, it's so hazy. I was like I was going through like Nam. Like
right.
I was trying to come through the jungle.
I know, and I'm surprised people are even willing to accept it, you know?
It's interesting.
I mean, look, and I'm a smoker, okay? I don't
no
feel
judgment.
Comfortable. Yeah, but no, the problem is that I'm so used to not smoking indoors that I can't even smoke in the casino.
It's very weird.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm like sitting inside smoke. What's the point?
I was having that shitty Philly cheesesteak next to a guy smoking a cigarette.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, this isn't happening.
Yeah, you see.
What is happening?
Yeah, so people need to do something about that. And you know, there's a couple of hotels that are non-smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a very good, air
ventilation.
Ventilation. Yeah. And stuff. So if you go to the Aria or something, that one.
That's where I went last year.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's nice, and it never smells like cigarettes there, although people do smoke, so.
It's just crazy it's so odd to me that I'm sitting down and someone just, like, lit up next to me. And that it used to be when I was a kid, that was happening too, but.
Exactly,
it's
it was normal, right?
Normal, but it's crazy to see that, and you're like, okay.
Yeah,
right.
I know. So, yeah, you have to have, you have to prepare when you go to Vegas,
because
it takes you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Totally, right?
And it puts you in almost like when you, what are those things called when you put in like the stimulation-free machines where you're just in water and darkness. You're in a cold place that's pumping oxygen with no clocks and
right.
the constant sound of a bell.
Right.
And it's almost just like you're in floating. Like there's no time
yeah.
or space and it's like a weird environment. So you got to really prepare yourself, people.
Yeah, right?
Because you could spend hours there and not know.
I know. Vegas is just, and it's very stimulating too.
Yes.
So,
ding, ding, ding. I was like, I love those.
Yeah,
noises.
I know.
Oh my God.
Were there a lot of people everywhere? Or?
No. And
it
sadly,
like
many people in neck braces. It was a lot of like, it was a little sad,
really?
To be honest. The casino was like filled with a lot of like scooters and like people that should, like, they should get out
a little bit more.
But I think it was because we were probably off the strip. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Hmm. Cool. So, but you enjoyed it, right? It
I
was
sure
a good
did,
experience
I got in.
For it, right?
Exactly. I met some really important contacts. I'm always good at meeting people. I just have to follow up. That's my big thing. I have to remember to follow up. And I worked my tush off. I mean, if you want to do comedy, Vegas is really still a hot spot. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's still got the aura of, you know, it's a comic's dream. So, yeah.
That's true, because it is an entertainment town.
It's a comic's dream, a DJ's dream, and a magician's dream. It's a great spot for all three.
That's true, yeah.
And a stripper, I think, would be good there.
Yeah. And Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, God.
They do have strippers there, but it's not on the strip.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
they have several
strippers
of them,
off the strip.
Yeah, there you go.
Boo.
But at any rate, so that's Vegas. Oh, what I did want to know is how many contestants were there?
So there was four nights of them. So it went two on Monday, two on Tuesday.
So it was more than one night.
Yeah,
I
more than
one
night.
Just one night.
Mine was only one night.
Yours
I didn't
was
know.
Only.
Yes.
But the whole competition was 4 days.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Okay.
So, and I think there, I didn't see the winner yet. I don't know if it's listed yet. But whoever wins, it's a great thing because you had to pass by a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Oh, a lot of people. And I met great comics there.
Yeah. So how many do you think there were, like, per day, or like on your the day you were on?
Probably, I'd say like 30 comics for 15, let's say, for the 6 o'clock and 15 for the 8 o'clock show.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of
comics.
Competition,
and it's 5 minutes each, so it's not a lot of time, and it's a very specific crowd. It's people that are off the strip that wanted a free comedy show.
Oh, okay.
So the crowd
and
is
maybe
rough.
Some industry people,
and
right?
Then, no, yeah, you're judged by like a right. set people, but the crowd is a little bit like they're really? Tired. They just came out of the heat. Someone offered them some water in like a cool spot. You have to make them laugh.
That's true, huh? Yeah. The location does matter, I guess. Yeah.
This is not...
Yeah. So this is not something national that's on Comedy Central or something?
No, it's just like these festivals are great because you'll get to be spread. It's mostly for industry.
Oh, okay.
So like, for instance, the Big Sky Comedy Festival in Montana has just become this new hit one. And if you win that, you're automatically maybe going on Conan or you're doing a spot on...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with like Fallon. Like, it's festivals will get you in spots.
Wow.
If you win, yeah.
Yeah, and how do you judge so many comics?
It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess just as they go up on, you mark, you know, and you know it's okay, this person is...
But it's a
know.
Hard thing to judge and laugh and, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well, glad we don't have to do that.
I know. It's not a fun thing for a lot of people.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about. Well, welcome back.
Thank you. Tell me about the love debate.
Yeah, so the love debate was interesting. But you know what? I don't want to get into it because we only have 5 minutes before the guest calls in. So let's get into something a little shorter, and then we'll continue. So now, you said you had a couple items there or something you want to talk about?
Yeah, the SpaceX satellite rocket that went into space to help with Facebook satellite blew up.
Wow.
This is another one of Elon Musk's blow-ups.
Right.
So there's a huge explosion, and it's not looking so
good. It didn't look very, very good, huh?
No.
Wow.
So Mark Zuckerberg had to write on Facebook something like, it blew up, or it didn't work with our satellite, we're going to have to go down. So not Facebook, but he was trying to create something with Elon Musk, and it didn't work. And it just doesn't look good. This is the second explosion, and then a man died in May in their self-driving car. He was using it, and he died in the Tesla. So it's not, you wonder if he's racing too fast onto something.
Probably. I think so. I think he's, because I've thought about this before, and I think he is concerned with being a pioneer.
Yeah.
And he has every right to, you know, but...
Risk taker.
Yeah. You know, but look, what's a couple of lives in a rocket that probably costs $1 billion?
Right. But they were hoping to send real astronauts or equipment, though, if it worked, and so it's just that you can't trust a plane.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah. Can you imagine if there were people in that
explosion?
That's
what he's... Right. That was the next step, was to send people up, to join up with other people in space. In the space station, but they're not going to do that now.
Yeah. I mean, just think how many different variables can go wrong with a rocket, right?
How do they land on the freaking...
I don't know how they do that. And they landed on the moon before we had all these computers.
Before we had calculators,
moon. You know? I mean, before we had anything, I can't imagine the computers they used back then.
One computer was
control,
like a huge room.
Right. You know, to control everything there. But they did do it, and that's amazing. That's why it was amazing for that time, you know?
Oh, my God. Still amazing.
Yeah. I know. Well, this is interesting because Pamela Anderson's got an anti-porn piece.
Really?
In the... where did she write it? In the Wall Street Journal. Opinion piece.
Okay, so you're telling me Pamela Anderson wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal.
Yes,
anti-porn.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so let's analyze that a little bit and dissect
that. Let's parse that out.
Yeah. So first of all, she shares the byline with Rabbi Shmuley Boter.
Mm-hmm.
So some of us know him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's what, like an advocate for whatever, I don't know what, for... modesty, I don't know, but he's a rabbi, and he's an outspoken rabbi. They titled the piece, Take the Pledge, No More Indulging Porn. So...
Do we know for a fact if Pamela Anderson has done porn in her past?
Okay, she had a sex tape, but unwittingly.
Oh, I know that sex tape. Yeah, no,
right.
That's not
no,
porn.
No, she was
that's
in Playboy,
right.
However.
Right, but she did.
So she showed her little coochie-coochie,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
But other than that...
no porn.
No
for
porn.
Her. All right.
No porn. So,
wow.
That's not the point. The point is that she's... and we can see what some of the critics are saying. And, first of all, You see, what she says is, I mean, I don't want to read it word for word, but essentially it's like, you know, it's time to change our lives. It's time to do something else. And you know what? The thing is, this is one person's opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are saying, because she's saying like how, I mean, she took a hard line about how sex destroys lives.
Sex in general?
No, I meant porn. Oh, I'm porn. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. That they stand in the way of healthy love and sex.
Mm.
So.
Really?
Yeah. And they're saying, you know, people avoid intimacy and respect because of pornography addiction.
Wow.
But yeah, but now you see, now they're talking about addiction. But there's a lot of people that watch porn who are not addicted, right?
Porn is awesome. Yeah. I don't have a problem with porn.
Yeah. You know, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, so two people's opinion do not make, you know, like a shift in our thinking.
No.
You know, I mean, some people are saying that it's because that people go to porn because we need to talk more about sex. And we don't. In our Western society, we don't really talk much about sex.
True. Well, in some respects, you could say, as the devil's advocate, that's all we talk about.
Right.
It's like in advertising, it's
but
everywhere.
But not openly, you know? I mean, think about it. And we'll come back to it because our guest is calling in. I'm recognizing a Wisconsin number. Let's see if that's true. And so our guest is joining us this morning. Good morning, Aaron. Are you on the air with us?
Yes. Hey, good morning. How are we doing?
Hi. And that's Aaron Bibert. I'm making sure to say it correctly, right?
It's actually like Bibert. Justin Bieber, but with a T on the end.
I'm sorry, because the spelling they sent me looked like Bibert, and I thought, okay, so I have to remember this.
It's Bibert. Yes, that's way cooler.
Right. It does look like Bibert, though.
I mean, it's spelled Bibert. I can totally see that. That's why, I mean, they give a spelling. I have to look at it. You know, as we talk and stuff, I'll find it, and I'll show you.
Somebody misled me.
No. But at any rate, we'll refer to you as Aaron Bibert, calling from, I recognize the area code as Wisconsin, right?
I'm in Milwaukee. That's my home.
Oh, wow. How cool is that? So,
yeah, it's a great city. Really love it.
Did you grow up there in Milwaukee?
You know, I did not. I actually chose to move here for college and then just loved it so much that I decided to stay. So, yeah, I'm originally more from the out west in Minnesota and Montana. So,
oh, nice. Yeah. You see, to them, Minnesota is out west.
I know. I'm like, what? I love it.
Right. Not as far west as you guys.
Yeah. I know. We are west. You know, we are far west, man.
You guys are in the wild west.
Yeah,
we're just in the normal west.
There you go. Yeah. If you only knew how dry the weather is here, I can't even tell you how dry and hot it's been. So I know you guys complain about the snow and the cold. And we complain about too much heat, you know, so.
Right, although I like the snow because I like skiing, so it's actually good.
Nice. Awesome, yeah. So, you said you went to college there in Milwaukee. What did you take in college? What did you major in?
Well, I studied business management and marketing was my major, but then I also studied art, which was a minor. I was hoping to have an architecture business, actually. I wanted to run my own business that was, you know, architecture. I really had this passion for art, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that if I didn't, you know how to run a business. So I actually studied business and art at the same time. And, didn't want to do an art. I didn't want to be an architect when I found out they mostly just design stairwells and stuff. So, yeah. So here I am making movies now.
Right on.
That's awesome. So, So how did you get into film? I mean, you know, before we get into the film itself, how did you end up deciding I'm going to make a film?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good question.
Yeah, that's why we're here, to ask good questions. Go ahead.
All the good questions. I love it. So, yeah, I had a healthcare business, actually, before this, where we were doing healthcare consulting and then recruiting and staffing. It was kind of a healthcare people business.
Uh-huh.
And as the economy started to tank, that ended up not being as good of a business. And so I took the marketing department from that business, and I started a new company called Attention Air Media, where we primarily focused on video and social media. Eventually, we just decided that we were going to focus on higher-level productions, and we're doing commercials for all kinds of different companies that we had worked with, NCAA, Final Art for the for something with them, then the IndyCar, Make-A-Wish, Applebee's is one of our clients. And so we started to have some good success with that, doing more of the commercial and like brand films. Uh-huh. And then we decided that it was time to make something for theaters. And, yeah, the rest is history.
Wow, wow. Now, so the film you you made is called A Billion Lives. And,
yeah.
And now, this was, I just got a press release here that you won top two honors at 2016 Melbourne Documentary Film Festival.
Bravo, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, congratulations.
That was a great honor. There were directors there from all over the world, and it was a really fantastic festival. I mean, Melbourne's actually where the first feature film was ever made, actually, for any movies. And that's a really great city for film and art, and it was such a big honor to win Best Director there. It was also a really great honor. We won the top prize for the Supreme Jury Prize, which was their top honor as a, for a film. And so, you know, having the, you know, that was very special, and I think that was one of the highlights of my career. I did actually fall off of the stage when I went up to collect the award. I actually fell off the stage.
Whoa.
Like off the stage. Yeah, like everyone was thinking I was like hurt. I mean, people were running to help, and luckily the front row were folding chairs. And so I didn't get hurt. So that was good. That was
but there's probably a video of it somewhere, right? You probably you better get a hold of it and destroy it.
That is so classy, dude. Wow. That's classy.
But yeah, that's part of the experience, you know. Wow. There you go.
It was.
Well, you were very excited, I'm sure.
Did you just like run and jump, or was it a trip?
Well, yeah, it was a stage. And it was only about, I think, maybe 2.5 feet above the floor. And there was a chair there. So I went up for Best Director Award, and I stepped on the chair, this folding chair, to go up on the stage. I was taking sort of a shortcut.
Oh.
And and it cracked, okay? And then I was like, oh, no big deal. You know, I just won an award, the Best Director. I was so honored. Like I said, some really amazing directors from around the world were there. And I go back, sit down, and then they call us up again. We just, for the final, for the Best Picture Award. And I go up, and I forgot. I was so excited. I forgot that I broke the chair. And I go right under that chair, and I'm about halfway up in the air until that thing breaks, and I fall backwards. And, right into the crowd. It was,
You were crowd surfing.
Yeah, I didn't hit anybody. Yeah, a lot of people, it was, it basically was like crowd surfing, except, luckily, no one got hurt, and so I went back up and gave my little speech, and away we went. So I actually
that's hilarious.
Give them some excitement. They got more than they bargained for.
Yeah,
love it.
We're talking to Aaron Biebert. The film is A Billion Lives. You guys can follow the interview here by going to abillionlives.com, and you can find out more about the film and the team and everything. I noticed several, the producers include probably a couple of family members. I see the same last name.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. So
yeah.
A nepotism in action right there in Milwaukee. Let's hear about that. Who are these, like brothers, cousins? Who?
Yeah. Well, that's, my wife is Jennifer Biebert. She's one of the producers.
Okay.
And she's also one of the editors. She also shot some of the film. She's super talented. And lucky for me, very beautiful. So I get to sleep with one of my producers. It's pretty awesome.
Wow.
She's been working with me for a long time. Also, my brother, Shem, he is a producer on this movie. He has a lot of passion for health and government-type projects and got involved for this movie to help produce it. He was also working with me a little bit in the other company. But he was actually really instrumental in organizing a lot of the interviews, and he was absolutely great. And then I actually, not on those credits, but in the movie credits for a social media community manager, I actually have a sister who was also helping manage the community. So,
nice.
So there's more nepotism there than you can than you even thought.
Yeah. Well, I could talk to you for hours about the making of the film, but let's get a little bit into the subject matter at hand. And so A Billion Lives, tell us what the film is about.
Yeah, well, the big thing for me when I found was when I found out that the United Nations World Health Organization is predicting that 1 billion people will die early this century from smoking. I, at first, had no idea. I thought smoking was kind of going away, you know, that it was, you know, everyone knew how bad it was, that the numbers were going to keep going down. But, and I had a friend who actually died from lung cancer who was a smoker, and he kept smoking all the way until he died. Could not quit. And he was actually a health professional. So this was, you know, shocking to me. And then, you know, I find out 1 billion people are going to die, and I find out that the numbers are going up. I mean, I think they said there's about 1 billion smokers right now, but they said there'll be 1.6 billion smokers in the next 20 years.
So now, let me ask you this again.
Going away.
Aaron, 1 billion people in what time period? What time span?
This century.
Oh, this century. Yeah. Okay, by 2099.
Yeah. Okay. That's what they're saying, is that 1 billion people will die from that. And so we were looking for a project that would be able to make a big impact, something that there would be interest in. We found out, also at the same time, kind of finding out that there's a lot of corruption involved with this fight against vaping, which is in some countries the number one way that people are quitting smoking. And we said, okay, yeah, this is like one of those cases where the government and some other crooked businesses, specifically in the pharmaceutical industry and in the past the tobacco industry, are basically colluding to kill off the number one way people are quitting smoking. And it was shocking to me. So we did a bunch of research before we even agreed to do this movie, but it all pointed to the same thing. And so we said, yeah, it's time to investigate this. And so we actually got packed our bags and headed around the world. We were shooting on 4 continents and interviewed the biggest experts in the field. In fact, the former president of the World Medical Association and the former executive director at the World Health Organization. So those two were actually the ones who led the world in the anti-smoking movement, and are both physicians and are both very credible people. And so we also got a bunch of other great people too, don't get me wrong. I mean, the inventor of the first e-cigarette, of the modern e-cigarette, we also got a bunch of health experts from all over, I think like 8 different countries or something like that. So yeah, I mean, it was very exciting to get those interviews, and I think it makes for a pretty good film, although we did have a lot of people decline to be interviewed from, like, the American Lung Association, American Cancer Society. A lot of these people didn't want to talk about 1 billion people dying for some odd reason, and it was kind of unfortunate. And some of the people even asked us ahead of time whether we were for or against vaping, and then once we told them that we were looking for the facts about it, then they declined.
Wow.
So it was so very troubling to see.
Right. Now, so did you have a preconceived notion of whether you're going to find out that it's worse or better or just as bad?
Well, yeah. I mean, going in, you know, I wasn't sure. At first, I actually thought this vaping thing looked like a bunch of crazy people. You know, it's like, guys, what are you doing? You know, is this just so you can smoke indoors? What is this about? You look kind of silly. You know, for years, you know, I've seen these first commercials. I actually remember posting on Facebook, how stupid is this? You know,
That commercial with the blue, what's that guy's name? I don't know it, but it doesn't look cool, does it? Steven Dorff, when he did it. The ads don't look inherently cool.
Yeah, because to see people smoking,
stupid,
yeah.
You know?
It looked a little dumb, yeah.
And so, really, that was for many years. Even as my, you know, even having lost someone I worked with to lung cancer, I was not thinking that this was the answer. If anything, I was thinking this was, like, part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so, imagine my surprise when I find out that this is actually how people are quitting smoking. And that it's being held back by crooked people. I was pissed.
Wow.
You know? And so, you know, I had done 3 months of research because I didn't want to make a movie just to find out that I was barking up the wrong tree.
Right.
You know, I don't want to, you know, we had a pretty good idea once we began filming what we were going to find, but we wanted to sit down with the expert and actually find out, you know, straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, you know, versus just reading about certain things that, you know, the different studies. But from all the science, it looked like vaping was actually the way that You know, we could possibly save a billion people's lives because it's all about burning the tobacco that's killing people. It's not the, it's not nicotine at all.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So is it the carcinogens in lighting it that's causing the cancers?
Yeah. I see. Just like, you know, when they came out with the study saying if you burn your toast or.
Right. You know, like the carcinogens in burning. You know, yeah.
Right. Burning.
Yeah, there's combustion actually, there.
Yeah, the combustion is actually the reason why people are getting, you know, cancer, and also, you know, carbon monoxide. All that stuff comes from burning.
Mm-hmm.
Vapor technology doesn't burn anything. All it does is heat up that liquid to a point where it could become, you know, a vapor, and then it's breathed in, much like a cigarette. So it actually gives them the comfort,
right,
you know, that habit is causing them. You know, that's why most people can't quit, because they have so many habits that are just such a big part of their life.
Yes.
This does every, you know, at least...
Just like a cup of coffee.
I'm not a smoker or a vapor.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm not a smoker or a vapor, but that's what everyone tells me, is that it's actually this exhaling and the breathing and the
Exactly. Yeah. Well, let me admit to you, I'm a smoker, okay? So don't judge me here.
Okay.
I'm not happy about it, but... But the point is, the point is, you ask why people do this, it's like it becomes your friend,
totally.
You know.
Totally.
It's hard to let it go. It's something, like you said, you have like rituals around it, you know, like you said, coffee.
Right.
Some people, they drink alcohol, they have to light a cigarette.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, it can become a very integral part of your life. And I think that's the hard thing to kick. But, and unfortunately for me, vaporizers don't give me the same pleasure. So it's not just the head-to-mouth thing that I used to think it was. But, yeah, the burning, I don't know, the burning, the smoke.
When you tried this vaporizing thing, did you try one of those ones that looked like a cigarette?
Yeah, the thing is I do have to admit, this happened... Several years ago on my show, it had to have been at least 4 or 5 years ago, we had a guest on the show that they were early on with those e-cigarettes.
Yeah.
I mean, these things came in packages that looked like cigarettes, you know, and stuff like that. But that was like five years ago. So, but when I would smoke it, I would cough, and I thought, how can you enjoy this? So I think you also have to learn how to smoke them, you know.
Well, the thing is, they've come out with all these new inventions,
right?
You know, with this whole vaporizing, where now they have these bigger devices that are a lot more. I've been told, again, not a vapor or a smoker, that it's easier to quit with the newer devices, but that actually, in some cases, I was told also that some of the tobacco companies were making some of those littler ones, and they were not that good. And some people are actually wondering if that was on purpose,
because
a lot of people tried it and then they just went back to smoking. Whereas there's all kinds of independent, smaller businesses that were making like bigger devices. They were calling them mods, or like personal vaporizers, and those devices apparently have a much higher success rate. And so it might be worth trying that. You might want to,
I will.
You know, I don't have any recommendations for you on companies, because I don't actually know a lot about the different companies. But I'm sure there's someone out there that would be willing to give you advice. I know in some cases these
not only that, but
that
online.
Today
you can find anything online. You know, it's
and as
like,
the technology improves, you know, like I have a friend that cannot quit smoking, and we tried an e-cigarette with her, and we tried the one that looked like a cigarette, but it didn't feel the texture, and she didn't get the burning. So
they said that airflow doesn't work.
Right,
it's not
the same amount of
and
breath.
And that's why the new ones are so important.
Totally,
because they actually have bigger airflows.
And I think as technology improves, maybe they'll paper wrap a vape or something.
Yes.
They'll get there.
If
you
they
know
get
what I mean?
There,
well,
where it feels exactly like a cigarette.
Get it as close as possible, because that's what you love, is the feeling.
Right.
Of it.
I mean, you're holding something so heavy.
That's the funny thing, though, is like some of these government people are criticizing these devices for looking like cigarettes, but that's the best way to help a smoker quit.
Right.
So
it's actually totally.
Totally crooked of them to be saying that, because they know as well as you do that the only way to get a smoker to quit is to have it be as similar to smoking or better as possible without the death, you know, without the, you know,
such
but
a good point.
They're not interested in hearing that, you know, and that's the sad thing, is that these are health people talking about that, you know.
Aaron, so you had to do research on all those lives that we're losing to smoking. How did you come up with some of the numbers? I mean, that's a lot of people to lose over 100 years.
Well, I agree. And those are not numbers that I came up with. Those are actually straight from the United Nations World Health Organization. And what they did is they took that number. That's not just people that die from lung cancer, but also people that are dying from COPD, mm-hmm. from
esophagus,
heart disease, right? All the different kinds of cancer. But also, there was a lot of discussion, too, in those numbers, which some people debate, you know, about secondhand smoke with children and infections, because sometimes, cigarette smoking can actually lead to an increase in various infections. I mean, I guess I'm not the expert on where those numbers came from. Someone, one of the guys in the UK who is an expert, his name's Clive Bates. He actually wrote a blog post about our movie and the number and where did that number come from.
Oh, cool.
And, he says that number, you know, of course, that's an estimate, but even if it's only 900 million, you know, or 1.1 billion, like, that's still a lot of people no matter how you slice it. And so it does seem like there, I mean, a lot of death and disease associated with it. And, surprisingly, we're talking about that many people.
I mean, that's like a sixth of the entire planet, a sixth or seventh of the entire planet.
Right now. But by the end of this century, I mean, there's going to be a lot more people on the planet. Yeah. So,
right.
It'll probably end up being, a tenth or a 20th of the planet. Yeah. But I mean,
that's 100 million people, right? No, 10 million people. Yeah. I'm sorry, 10 million people every decade.
10 million people every year.
No, every year. I'm sorry. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
How
right
did
now,
I get to decade?
6 million a year right now. Six million a year right now.
Wow. But that's a lot. But it's going
to
increase.
Century, like I said, they're about to go from 1 billion to 1.6 billion smokers on the planet in the next 20 years.
Right.
So, is there a decline in America or Western as opposed to European and Asia? Is there a difference? Is it all worldwide? Going up?
There is certainly a difference, but what surprised me the most was that in the U.S., until these vapor devices started helping people quit, the smoking rates were not really going down very much. They were hovering around 20%. Mm. And so it is going down a little bit now. In fact, teen smoking is at an all-time low now because of this vapor technology. And, the hope would be at some point that kids would never start smoking, but they would only experiment with this vapor technology, and that would be about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there you go.
Because they say it's not, they say this is not nearly as addictive or habit-forming as actually cigarettes, and even if you do for some reason get addicted to it, which I've never met a non-smoker who got addicted to these things, and I've tried it myself, never habit-forming or anything like that, but they said, even if, let's say, all these kids were to get addicted to it, it luckily isn't dangerous like smoking.
Exactly. So it's not as dangerous.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
So let me tell you. That's the hope.
Yeah. But I think you've given us a lot of hope, you know, because there are alternatives. It's just we probably have to fight for them harder than the tobacco companies do.
Which is hard because they have money.
Yeah.
Well, right. Or the government. You know, in California there, the government actually took the money from tobacco companies that they're giving them, and they made a bond on that. They sold the bonds of future income, and now they're in trouble. So what they just did is they had a $78 million campaign to demonize vaping, and they were running that during the Olympics with your tax money.
Mm.
Wow. So that's shocking to me, but that's how it is. You know, some of these groups are being funded and pushed and lobbied so hard that they're doing things that really should make most Americans and most Californians really upset.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, Aaron, there's so much more to talk about, but we're totally out of time here. So, I invite you right here on the air to come back on the show. Maybe in a couple of weeks we'll talk a little bit more. Maybe you will have won more prizes by then, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. We're headed to a couple more festivals, and we're going to be heading to California soon. So
don't fall off the stages. Don't fall off.
Yeah. Now, Aaron, we want to know how people can see the movie.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be coming out in theaters in not that long. So what people need to do if they want to see the movie, if you go to abillionlives.com, you can sign up to get email updates. It just pops up at the top of the website. If you sign up there, it's free. I don't send many emails, but they're actually all for me, and we keep people posted. We're about to have some really big announcements. We're coming out with with a new trailer very soon, and it's going to be very exciting. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. And, yeah, website, billionlives.com, and people can follow us on social media, too, if they just search for A Billion Lives.
There you go. Aaron Bieber, thank you so much for joining us.
Bravo,
sir. You guys have a good one. We'll talk to you.
You opened up a great discussion, and I like that, you know? So we'll devote some time to that. Yeah, and I promise I'm going to try Vaporizer and see what's going on.
I'm
going to
get him one.
Try one of the new modern ones.
That's what I'm going to do. I like gadgets anyway. Yeah,
I'm hoping that the kids will like the gadgets. I'm hoping the new generation will think it's outdated to smoke and wants the gadgets. That's what I'm hoping.
That's what the hope is. That's what the hope is. So, yeah. All right, you guys. We'll talk to you later.
Aaron, thank you. Yes, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Wow. Very interesting stuff, huh?
Yes.
Wow. So, I think, you know, when I try to remember what it felt like to me to have an e-cigarette like that, it looks like a cigarette. 5 years ago, it just felt like fake. You take a piece of straw and you put it in your mouth.
And what's funny is smokers, the stupid thing is if you just put it together and give it to them, smokers are some of the most detailed about why they like smoking.
Right.
They're the most protective of that texture. Their brand is important. The cigarette pack is important. The lighter is important to them. So you better get it right or else they're not dumb. You know what I mean? You better make it pretty detailed.
It's just poor souls.
Yeah. We just feel bad. We do. It's very hard to quit.
It is. But, you know, especially coming from part of the world where it's still pretty popular.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, it's not as popular as it used to be. But let me tell you, when I went to that bat mitzvah on Sunday, everybody was smoking there.
Yeah, light it up.
And we were outside, thank goodness. But people will constantly go outside in droves and smoke.
Yeah, and that's part of another cultural ritual,
that's culture.
Right? So that's another tradition that you would have to part with if you quit. But having a vape, you would be able to join.
Right.
So, but it's interesting. Even that's wrapped up. And then my friend that has is addicted, it's after meals. Is a nice time to do it. So that's another like food related ritual. So if you have the vape, I feel like you can still partake, hopefully, and be less dangerous.
Yeah. That's the thing. And also, plus, I think it depends on how long you have been smoking, you know, before those things came out. Because if you're like into this habit for decades like me, those vaporizers, I don't know if they can replace it. But you were right. Look, if they make a cigarette that's exactly the same. It feels the same.
Paper rolled.
Paper, you know, soft like that.
And when you click it, it makes the sound of a burning fire. Like you can hear the crack. You know how when you light your cigarette?
Yeah.
That's important too. Like tiny details need to be thought out.
Yeah. Or maybe you can just do like, maybe it can even burn down like a cigarette, but it's actually vapor. I don't know. They make it out of like rice paper or something.
Yeah, right.
You
exactly.
Or something
like that.
There's
no carcinogen, like the actual lighting's still there.
Well, no, not the combustion, but the like it can heat it without burning it. That's what a vaporizer does.
Yeah.
So you see, like with the electronic cigarettes, the e-cigs, they have what happens is it gets heated and it heats the nicotine, and that's how you get it into your system,
like the water crystals of the nicotine.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how you get it, and whereas. And regular cigarettes, it's the combustion that breaks down the nicotine for you.
Yeah, but it's going to come. It's going to become. You know what's going to be? Whoever's going to come up with this invention we're creating, by the way, we should create it.
We should
right now.
Definitely.
But it's going to come from a smoker. A smoker has to design it.
Yeah.
Or else we don't. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to design it because you know what the details are.
Exactly. Or something as close to it as possible.
That's
and I believe it's going to happen because.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, Tori, I'm reading all these books about the future. And, I mean, I'm just amazed at how things are going to happen and be integrated into our lives, you know? So but what I come away from this with is that anything that's possible is going to happen, you know? I mean, so it's like, why wouldn't they be able to make
100%.
A cigarette? It just depends on when.
And
know?
It's not like 10, 20 years. It's like in 5 years. Like, imagine the first e-cigarettes to now. I mean, they're ridiculous. Like, now they're flavored. They're creme brulee. I mean, you can get the flavored shit. But I don't think a smoker, tell me if I'm wrong, would you want that flavor?
No.
Right.
No.
You want the freaking Marlboro
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want the
it's
you
not
want
dessert
the bitter.
Time. It's smoky time.
I mean, even a menthol cigarette I can't handle,
that's right.
You know?
You like your specific brand's taste.
Yeah.
It's very weird. still get the creme brulee shit, but yeah. Whatever.
Anyway, you guys look for A Billion Lives, and I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Especially as a smoker, it's right up your alley. You just right. learn about it.
Exactly, and it started a conversation, and I like that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just to wrap up the porn with Pamela Anderson, who's become suddenly an ally with a rabbi, and they're deciding what's good for us and what's not on a moral level. The hell with that.
Yeah. I don't know. That seems a little... I mean, everyone's welcome to their opinion, but it is right. very surprising that she was so open with her body and now is saying...
Right.
Very, yeah. I have to read it, but it's a little odd.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, you know, I do see a difference between nudity...
And porn.
And porn.
Totally.
And sex, right?
Totally.
It's two different things. And people tend to say, oh, Playboy was porn. Well, it wasn't.
No, absolutely not.
You know, when you just show a body, that's not sex.
And it's interesting that she got burned by that sex tape, and I wonder if that... caused her to really have problems with porn. I mean, she really got burned when that came out. So I wonder if this is in response, you know, if this started the crusade for her.
Probably. I'm sure it irritated her for a long time.
Yeah. Everyone I know saw that tape.
Yeah, except me. I haven't really seen it. But it didn't appeal to me.
No, it's a little weird, right? That's creepy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I felt, what's there to see, you know? The quality was bad, if I remember correctly.
He likes it HD.
Because I saw they had clips, you know?
Yeah.
But at any rate, then not everybody is a porn addict, you know, just like not everybody is like, if you go and you like gambling, it doesn't automatically make you an addict unless you do it a lot and all the
moderation.
Time. Right.
I know couples that watch porn together. I don't have any issue with porn.
Yeah.
Unless it's not done in moderation and it's taking over.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everything in moderation, I think it really works, you know. So,
So we're pro-porn, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Go out there and masturbate, guys. Pull out your whatever and do it.
To Pamela Anderson.
Exactly. To whoever, you know. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to get some porn stars on the show. I used to get a lot of them because I had a publicist that wanted to send all of them. But now, I mean, he's still around, but he hasn't sent girls. So we'll bring some so we can talk about this. And you see, I mean, I see many of them here coming through the station, and they see sex totally differently from the way we do.
True. And also, a lot of them I know that I've read or learned about are strong feminists. They're strong females. They're fierce. They're not, I mean, it's not, this is a
no,
strong...
They demand
empowerment,
their sex.
Exactly.
You know, and it's a turn on for some people, you know.
There
so
you go.
Everybody relax. Yeah, and then it's actually on the show with the porn stars, they always say in the end, what they say, it's just sex, you know. Relax, it's just sex, you know. So, yeah. But anyway, talking so much about porn, we only have 3 minutes. How am I going to tell you about the... okay, let me say real quick.
Go.
Because the next host is usually late, so maybe we'll take 5 more minutes here. But at any rate, so I was invited to the Great Love Debate, which is an event that they have in many cities around the country, mainly in L.A., though, because that's where it started. And they invite 100 men, 100 women, and a panel of experts to discuss why everybody's still single.
Mm.
And so it's very interesting. You know, so I went there. It was at the Hollywood Improv, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't really have time to mingle before. I guess, you know, we got there at like just about 10 minutes before it was supposed to start. So no time to mingle there.
So you're trying to meet people at this love debate.
Yeah. So we went. So we were admitted in at 8. Good seats and everything. I went with a friend. Quickly, I realized there's got to be like 100 women here and 4 guys.
Oh, really?
Yes. There was hardly any guys.
The odds
there.
Are in your favor.
Now, nobody mentioned that at all during the debate. Nobody said anything, but there were less than 10 guys there.
Wow.
They were really. So, I mean, everywhere you looked, there were women. I said, God, this is like heaven for us.
Yeah, right. The odds are in your favor.
Yeah. So, I decided that...
Did we get any numbers? Like, you got to give us the deets.
Yeah.
Did you find anyone?
Well, okay, so the conversation went on and everything, and as far as asking, you know, like comparing dating in different cities and stuff, you know, the guy that runs it always likes to compare different cities and how people date. things like that, you know. So, and then you eat while that's happening. Nice. And then at the end, they always say in the invitations, you guys will have a chance to mingle and stuff, right?
Nice.
Well, they kick you out of there in 5 minutes.
Oh, that's lovely.
Right?
That's lovely.
So by the time you leave, so, you know, everybody's outside suddenly lined up in a friggin', you feel like you're walking through a gauntlet or something, right?
They're all judging
you. So
you
go outside, yeah, whatever it was, I don't know, around the bar, and some people waiting to get in for the next show. So you go outside, everybody disperses quickly, and 10 minutes is nobody left. You're like, what the hell? Where's the girls?
Yeah. They're gone. Well, that's not the, maybe not gone, the best so, place to meet.
But last time I met somebody there, oh. So it depends, you know. Actually, a couple times I did at different times.
There you go.
Yeah, so you never know, but it didn't work out this time. And so it was a...
It was more of a quickie.
Yeah. So although it was fun, it was a fail as far as picking
fail.
Up anybody, you know.
I can't wait to hear more of these adventures.
Yeah, hashtag fail. There you go. All right, everybody. This is... we're totally out of time. And Monday we're going to take off. Okay? We'll do... You guys do whatever you want to do. I'm hoping to actually... do catch a ride, a bike ride on the beach.
Oh.
I love doing that, and I'm just like a little. I'm a little apprehensive about taking it because when I taking my bike to the beach because when I load it on the car, sometimes it strains my back. I get a backache, and then I can't move.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've had to postpone it for a while.
I know. Why don't you just rent one on the beach?
I know. That's what I was thinking, right?
Yeah, they're all
but I love my bike.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, I'm going to try those e-cigarettes over the weekend. We'll see what's going on.
Yeah, let's get the review.
Right? Exactly. Maybe I will be able to kick cigarettes.
There you go.
Everybody will be happy. All right. Tori, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll see you on Tuesday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.